Good morning. So last night, having now resumed our classes on Lodig, we've come to the presentation on the omnipresent mental factors. And last night we started to look at the first one in some detail, that of feeling. So feeling, we saw, is defined as a knower that is distinguished by being that which experiences. We looked a bit at the definition and thereafter started on the divisions. We looked at both of the twofold divisions. Firstly, that all feelings can be divided into those which are physical feelings and those which are mental feelings. And what differentiates them is a physical feeling, or the feeling that is called a physical feeling, accompanies a sense consciousness, whereas a feeling that is called a mental feeling accompanies a mental consciousness. And then we look briefly at the second of the twofold divisions, that all feelings can be divided into those which are materialistic and non-materialistic, or contaminated and non-contaminated. And then we came to the third division, which is the most commonly used, and that's feelings being divided into feelings of happiness, feelings of suffering, and feelings of equanimity. And moreover, last night we looked at the usage of the word, the term feeling, in the general context of the Buddha Dharma as well. Recalling that all beings desire only happiness and want to be and all beings want to experience only happiness and to be completely free of suffering. We looked at what this means in relationship to feelings, that the happiness and suffering there refers to feelings. And moreover, we looked at this term feeling, or otherwise translated as feeling tone. There's a great variety in terms of from a very subtle up to a very coarse and manifest or obvious level of feeling. And so with and having such variety amongst feelings like this, or a gradient amongst feelings, there too will be a great an expansive gradient in terms of happiness as well. And happiness can be divided into that which is contaminated and that which is uncontaminated. And happiness, or the feelings of happiness, these can be associated then with those, the feeling of happiness that is associated with the sense consciousness, so in other words, physical feeling, and the feeling of happiness that is associated with mental consciousness, so mental feeling. So we looked at this last night, and then amongst these two, which is the more powerful, which has the greater impact on one? And that is mental feelings, or the feeling associated with the mental consciousness. And it's this then that we as individual practitioners need to focus on cultivating. And moreover, in the context of generating the mind of love and the mind of compassion, here the mind of love is the wish, may all beings experience only happiness. And that happiness there is the feeling of happiness. So here we understand that it's a feeling of happiness, and in particular, it's the happiness that comes, that it is mental happiness, the mental feeling of happiness that is associated with the mental consciousness. And likewise, what we're particularly aspiring to in terms of compassion, may all beings be freed from suffering. This is referring to the feeling of suffering. May all beings be freed from the feeling of suffering, both subtle and coarse, and then particularly referring to the mental feeling of suffering. So this too we looked at last night.
So,
furthermore, we as ordinary beings, and you can say in general throughout amongst all ordinary beings, in answer to the question we ask ourselves or others may ask of us, how are you? We respond to this in relation to the feelings that are dominating within us. So if we say, yeah, I'm quite happy, or things are going well, we generally refer to our feeling of happiness. Or if things are not well for us, then this, when we respond in this way, either to someone directly or just in our own thought process, this refers to how we relate to our feelings of suffering. And here, these feelings of happiness and suffering, which are in the context of how are you, these then refer to contaminated feelings. So the division on the top of page
22. Dewa sahaja dikira. Dinigi, Dumaji Sumure, Tisunga Meva Sukore, Pango, Tisunga Meva, Meva Serva in the Pambaina, then Andre Tarpasa to Tubore, then it didn't get over Tubore, Divananeda, Digi Deva Sasha, Samis, Divash, Sami Deva Tubore, Sumurda. Tubures, Yomova, Nazuki, Dungan, and Chava Digi, Dunga Sunga, Pang, Pana, Pangodi.
To look at this further from the, so that last segment was about how people in general in the world, or beings in general in the world, relate to feelings. But now let's look at it from the context of the Buddha Dharma. Suffering that we all long to be freed of can be divided in many different ways. Best known or the most common division will be the threefold division. The suffering of physical and mental pain, the suffering of transient happiness, and all-pervasive suffering. Amongst these three, it's only the first, the suffering of physical and mental pain, that people in general and certainly ourselves are mostly, are directly aware of. And this too refers to the contaminated feeling of suffering. This the coarsest form of suffering, with the suffering of physical and mental pain, is contaminated suffering. And we need to be freed of this, but not only this division of suffering, it's all three, including the suffering of transient happiness and the suffering of all pervasive suffering. All three we need to abandon. When one abandons all three of these sufferings, where the third is the all-pervasive suffering, which is relating to or referring to our contaminated aggregates, we then attain liberation. When we have completely abandoned the afflictions and the seeds, we attain liberation. When we abandon the afflictions, then we experience, the happiness we then experience is non-contaminated happiness. Or the feeling of non-contaminated happiness. So this is the progression between the two. So we're looking at the division on top of page 22. The contaminated feelings are what we're experiencing now. They're infused with or related to the afflictions. When the afflictions have been abandoned, then one only experiences happiness, and that is non-contaminated, the non-contaminated feeling of happiness. So that concludes the review of what we looked at last night. So let's then continue where we stopped. So let's look in the middle of page 22. Although whatever is happiness or suffering is necessarily feeling. So this first half of the sentence, whatever is happiness or suffering is necessarily feeling, means that when we talk about happiness and we talk about suffering, and attending classes here, these terms you'll be very familiar with, they come up repeatedly. These refer to the feeling of happiness, the feeling of suffering. And so this is good to bear in mind, that when we hear about happiness and hear about suffering, it's referring to the feeling of happiness and the feeling of suffering.
Same deal, Devaya Maradumaya Mares, Ne Gosheba is ね、やん、だ、ディナーで、センジュン、センジュンなら、センジュン、ジャンガルマイヤー、マゴチでセンジュンオプチュンアジキオレラ、ダンオプチュンアジキナーね、ね、オプチュンオルゴディ、チェザー、ガソレ、デワルドンハカヤマレス、ガソツォアマロ、ツォアマインケンゲ、センジュンガンイカリ、オプチュンアジキティヨデュ、ツォアマイン、ツォアチキティロ、ツォアチヨデュ、ね、ディハマシャンダ、ツォアマインケン、シェバ、センジュンガネシーネ、
The part of the greater Lodic text or awareness and knowers text that we are in is dividing all consciousnesses into two main minds and mental factors. Main minds, these primary consciousnesses, are consciousness. But they are not happiness or suffering. Happiness and suffering is a mental factor, but amongst the many mental factors, the 51, 50 of them are also not happiness or suffering. Only one is. That is feeling. So feeling has the function of, as we saw in the definition of experience, and so it's feeling that is that has the function of experience, namely happiness or suffering. So therefore, again, whenever one hears about happiness and suffering, it is necessarily referring to the mental factor of feeling.
So, to
really make this clear, let's take what we're more familiar with, and that's our physical body. So our physical body, we can all divide into many differing parts. We've got a left arm, a right arm, our hands, our fingers. We've got our eyes, our head, etc. And we have a nose. And amongst all these different parts, there's only one that we can call a nose, and that is this one, this part here. We can't call any other part of the body nose. It doesn't fulfill the function of a nose. So this we understand very clearly with our material body, and it is precisely the same with our consciousness. We have many different consciousnesses, they perform different functions, but there's the one that performs, that is a knower, or a consciousness, that is distinguished by being that which experiences. And it's that one that is feeling, and therefore performs the function of feeling, and is that one that experiences happiness or suffering.
So
in the context here of the threefold division of feelings, and so we've seen now that feelings of happiness and feelings of suffering mean that happiness and suffering are necessarily feelings, but the third division, that of equanimity, will continue. Whatever is equanimity is not necessarily feeling. So the first two, happiness and suffering, are necessarily feeling, but equanimity is not necessarily feeling. This is the mental factor of feeling. This is because with regard to equanimity, there are three. Equanimity feeling, equanimity of application, which is included among the 11 virtuous mental factors, and immeasurable equanimity.
And now on the Dewa, love you, Dewa, Duma, Tangyum, Lagurva, Chisa, Dewa, love you, Oda Tsuachin Gurias, Lamson Tsuachin Gurias, and be some time. Duma, love you, Oda Tsuachin Gurias, and be some time. 당님 라비도 데라 초아인게 요레 초아마인게 요레 진지미 초아인 고고 말해야지 온 대화 동화 당님 라비도 대화다 동화 라비도 인지미 초아인 거 당님 라비도 인지미 초아인 고 말해야지
So therefore, going forward, when you hear the words happiness and suffering, immediately know that it's referring to the mental factor of feeling, and necessarily is so. But when you hear the word equanimity being discussed, that does not necessarily refer to the mental factor of feeling. It may well do so, but not necessarily.
So, Dewa the Dungan Yida, Tsawayin Kure, Tanyum Ladu, Tsawayin Kubare, said Dus Kevacherwada.
If you, in the context of hearing a presentation on feelings, and you hear about a feeling of happiness, feeling of suffering, feeling of equanimity, it's very clear there that each of these three are feelings. Or if you hear discussion of happiness, suffering, and the feeling of equanimity, again, whilst only one is explicitly stated as a feeling, the feeling of equanimity, because we now know that happiness and suffering are necessarily feelings, one will understand that all three are feelings. But if one doesn't hear the feeling of equanimity, but just the term equanimity, then be aware, possibly, now the feeling of equanimity is being referred to, but possibly not. One needs to hear from the context to understand which what is exactly being referred to when one hears only the term equanimity.
Dedu kaya nyongyu yung uwa ki tuken chila chowa ki shiurwa. Tade tanyum la du chowa kasa, tade tanyum, duje tanyum, tseme tanyum la du kurung yu de la mikbi kisha, yu de jikwa asam tanya de la tanyum sikurwa. Mato ko yu de mpene tseme tanyum la du semjian tam, tseme pa, semjian tseme pa, baotu me pa si mi che, semjian chasa da dewa du pa da dunga mi du jikwa re, danyam re sa. Semjian tam je rang ya, ane jige rang ge semjian tam jige ngi panpa dhukwe di jigba re ma to digi panpa dhukwe, digi panpa dhukwe ma ra samtang nyering charwa da, nyering me ba samtang wa dila tanyum se wola. Jizang to gewa dine, gewa dhukwe la, dhuji gewa chunna, dhuji tanyum se du, shenhel ya, ane jige nyering wangi, bine shenhel ya, susuge chakpe wangi semta nyawa chaya da. And so, the Pajo de la Mage Wonga, so the same time, Chasurwa, the Niring Chasurwa. Tis that a Niring Mebati, Niga, the Nigi, Chabada, Shiadangi, Nigi, Chos, Masonachi, same Gima Nije, Nedic Juyatela, Givi Chao Juyatela, Mazuki, and the Kiawatanum Sachagore. Tis that Seme Tanum Ladu, Semjan Tamje, Semjan Seme Balamiche, Semjan Tam.
So So you understand then these three different ways that, three different possible meanings for equanimity. Let's divide them into two. The one, with the first one, A, the equanimity feeling. Then on the other hand, equanimity that is one of the 11 virtuous mental factors, and immeasurable equanimity. So B and C we can put here, and A we put here. So A is the equanimity feeling. So being a feeling, it fulfills the definition. A knower that is distinguished by being that which experiences. So equanimity feeling is a knower or a consciousness, an awareness that experiences. It experiences. Its entity is one of experience, and it's a consciousness. So therefore, we're talking about an object possessor, a consciousness that experiences the object. So what primarily distinguishes A from B and C is that it's referring to a consciousness. It's referring to a consciousness, and specifically a consciousness that experiences. B and C are differentiated from A primarily in that they are referring to the object that the consciousness is interacting with. A is referring to the consciousness itself. B and C are referring to the object or the way that the object is interacted with. So that's the primary difference. The first one refers to a particular consciousness itself, a particular mental factor that is experiencing the object. B and C refer to the two objects themselves and how they are being related to. So then, that is how to differentiate the first from the second and the third. Then what are the second and the third beyond that they're referring to objects? So the equanimity, the virtuous mental factor of equanimity, this refers to relating to an object not through closeness or distance. When we relate to, for example, someone with closeness, there's usually attachment involved. When we relate to someone with distance, we want to be apart from them, separate from them, there's aversion or anger involved. Whereas the virtuous mental factor, this virtuous consciousness of equanimity, is between those two. It's not under the influence of attachment and therefore closeness, or aversion and therefore distance from the object or the person or the thing. Rather, it's equanimous between the two, and therefore can relate in an impartial manner. So that's the second one, the virtuous mental factor of equanimity. So here from that description, you can see it's how one relates to the object, not with attachment, not with aversion, not feeling close or distant, but equal between the two. The third has some similarity, immeasurable equanimity. But here, the object is sentient beings, immeasurable sentient beings, limitless sentient beings. So the object is clearly external, it's sentient beings, immeasurable sentient beings. And one is not relating to, and one has come to understand that all sentient beings, all limitless sentient beings, are equal in terms of wanting happiness, wanting to be freed of suffering. And through this, one wants to relate to them equally, impartially. So this is often translated as impartiality rather than equanimity. But the word in Tibetan is the same. So one wants to here be impartial towards all sentient beings, not feeling close to some and distant from others, because they are the same in desiring happiness, the same in terms of wanting to be freed of suffering. And therefore, it would be inappropriate to relate to them differently on that fundamental level. So this then is the third type of equanimity, measurable equanimity. Again, it's focused on the object. Here, all sentient beings, seeing them as equal in terms of their desire for happiness and freedom from suffering, and therefore having an impartial attitude towards them. And so the B and C are similar in that they're focusing on the object and having an impartial attitude or an equanimous attitude towards the object. An object can be sentient beings or a thing. The first one, A, is an equanimity, a feeling of equanimity. So here, this is relating to a consciousness, or referring to rather a consciousness and how it experiences its object. So that's then the three different ways that equanimity can be related or can be understood, and only the first is a feeling. That's the threefold division then of feelings. So another way to take this mental factor of feeling, this consciousness or knower that experiences, and come to understand in more detail, one can divide it into five. And that we also have on page 22. So I'm going to read out a literal translation of the five, which will help then with the paragraphs that come afterwards, which really are not very clear for us in English. But so put a few of the words in the fivefold division in brackets. There's nothing incorrect there, but it will make the rest of it clearer later. So the fivefold division is first a feeling of happiness, then mental happiness. Suffering is the third. The fourth, mental unhappiness. And fifthly, a feeling of equanimity, or equanimity feeling. So I'll read the literal translation again. Happiness feeling. And then secondly, mental happiness. So put feeling in brackets. Then thirdly, suffering. So put feeling in brackets. And then fourthly, mental unhappiness. Again, put feeling in brackets. And lastly, equanimity feeling.
That number of the Deva says, you know, the thing is to all the Yawa, some chair do to what Deva, Danium, Dunga, Danium, Yaw, some chair. This number, and the Yaw, some chair to what Deva said in Alolia, the one she called you to what Deva, the Yishi because you to what Deva Niga, to what Deva Ganachine, Dina, the Tudor, Chasan, Chasan Google, to all the some chair, Gabla, to what Deva, Labiadu, and Dina.
First, before we start explaining the fivefold division, let's refer back to the threefold division. There we're seeing the first one is feelings of happiness. So feelings of happiness refers to both happiness, a feeling of happiness that arises with a sense consciousness, so it would be a physical feeling of happiness, as well as the feeling of happiness that arises with a mental consciousness, so a mental feeling of happiness. So both of these are included within 2.1, the feelings of happiness. Now when we come to the fivefold division, those two are split out. They're enumerated separately. So what we have here in the first division as feeling of happiness refers only to the feeling of happiness that arises in conjunction with a sense consciousness. In other words, a physical feeling of happiness. So therefore, you can add another word here in brackets to make it clear, physical happiness feeling. And that is what the 3.1 is referring to. So the Tibetan is just literally happiness feeling, but it's referring only to the physical happiness feeling, in other words, that which accompanies the mental factor, the consciousness of feeling, of happiness that accompanies a sense consciousness.
Sada tsowa la nga yewa chen yu du, di yu sum chi du dewa la du tsowa dewa la yu du di nane
Then the second one, which literally is in the fivefold division, is mental happiness. So this then, or mental happiness feeling, this then in the threefold division is the second part that's included amongst feelings of happiness. So feelings of happiness in the threefold division include both physical happiness feeling and mental happiness feeling. Now in the fivefold division, these are different, are split into two. They're just made enumerated to make more, to make clearer. The first three, one, physical happiness feeling, and the second, mental happiness feeling. So therefore, what's in the threefold division, in the fivefold division, is just enumerated in more detail. That's the only difference here.
だ、そうはなが地べかぶらやん、そうはではだけど。こういう民事ばれとは、そうはでは、地ばれけどは。じゃあだ、そうはなが地べかぶらそうはではせで、わしかゆそうはではいんばでかんさはぐれ。え、ラビオで、にばではこ、いで、せで、なちでいで、せで、けはろしゃ、いでらで、いらでいじしばれが、いじしべではれが、せでいじしべそうはせ。いじしべそうはせ、このもそうらつるわ。ラビオで、でじにやれ、そうはではせで、 이시비소와데마레스라비오드 当然这个错了宋切的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了的错了
So the fivefold division is just enumerating further the threefold division. And we can also see how it incorporates what was included right at the beginning, the first division, the twofold division. So the fivefold division is just to make it really very, very clear that when one refers to a feeling of happiness, so from the third division, the threefold division, that can be one that arises in conjunction with a sense consciousness or a mental consciousness. And then in the fivefold division, this is just enumerated further. So here in the fivefold division, when we see the first one, feeling of happiness, we need to then understand that this is referring to physical feeling of happiness, which means it comes in conjunction with a sense consciousness, such as touch or taste or smell. Whereas mental happiness, this is the feeling that comes in conjunction with a mental consciousness. Then let's look in the fivefold division at the third and the fourth. So here, Again, it follows the same principle as we've just had before, where in the threefold division, feelings of suffering, they're included both types, the physical feeling of suffering and the mental feeling of suffering. And these now are differentiated or split out in 3.3 and 3.4. So the third one, which literally in the Tibetan is only suffering, of course, refers to a suffering feeling, and in particular, physical suffering feeling, which means it arises in conjunction with a sense consciousness. And then the fourth one, mental unhappiness feeling, which means a mental suffering feeling, this arises in conjunction with a mental consciousness. So therefore, 3.3 and 3.4 are just a deeper enumeration of what we had above, the second feelings of suffering. Then lastly, 3.5, equanimity feeling is the same as we have above, feelings of equanimity. Here, this hasn't been differentiated in terms of whether it's accompanying a sense consciousness or a mental consciousness. So therefore, it is identical to 3.5 is identical to
2.3.
Particularly enjoy varying enumerations, then you can take this threefold division and we can divide this up further. And we can do this now with clearer language than perhaps is in the fivefold division. So the first is feelings of happiness that are physical, feelings of happiness that are mental. So that makes two. The second one, feelings of suffering, we can divide in the same two. Feelings of suffering that are physical, feelings of suffering that are mental, making four, and then feelings of equanimity that are physical, feelings of equanimity that are mental. Or maybe it would be better to express it as mental feelings of equanimity, physical feelings of equanimity, and above, mental feelings of suffering, physical feelings of suffering, and mental feelings of happiness, physical feelings of happiness. And then that is as clear as one can get, and now we have a sixfold division. Just to explain then why this 3.5 equanimity feeling hasn't been divided into two like the ones above, happiness and suffering, is because the source material for this presentation, the upper and lower Abhidharma texts, the compendium of knowledge and treasury of knowledge, these two source texts present equanimity as one, so without dividing it into two, hence this briefer text here, the Lodic text, is leaving them as just the one equanimity feeling. But now we know that the meaning is that there is a physical equanimity feeling and a mental equanimity feeling.
Ah, that then, that the idea in the way in which I'm
Now we come to the two brief paragraphs beneath the fivefold division, which just explain what has been presented above in this fivefold division, because as we've seen with needing to add words, the fivefold division isn't explicitly clear, but is rather presented beneath this. Whatever is mental happiness is necessarily happiness. Whatever is mental happiness is necessarily happiness, but is necessarily not the happiness that is within the fivefold division of feeling. And then this is explained in the next sentence. So whatever is mental happiness is necessarily happiness, but is necessarily not the happiness that is within the fivefold division of feeling. This is because whatever is happiness within the fivefold division of feeling must be a physical feeling of happiness. So what this is saying is that 3.1 should, if it was written as a physical happiness, was explaining that its happiness feeling refers to physical happiness feeling. So that's all that is being said here. And it's being said in this way because this is how it's expressed in the source material of the treasury of knowledge, the lower Abhidhamma, and the compendium of knowledge, the upper Abhidhamma. But all that's being expressed in these two sentences is that 3.1, it means physical happiness feeling.
당한저 군종아 산단 이버 유명아 세들레 바로 유명아 세다 유명이병아 세다 군종아 세든가 또 셰바 간데 나 셰바 지유나 딩아 보는 님도 여여 바로 군종아 또 초와 두시 셈바 일라시 바 잡아가지 셰바 안데 딩아나 디 군도 셈중아레 셈 간에 지나 니 콜야 딩아디 님도 여여 바래 단 님도 제바나 셈제 군도 초와 두시 셈 일라 잡아가 콘도 죽 님도 Sheba Ganesi in a dinig drupium de Yoyovarita. Jesan Dinez of Kundro, Lavadu, Sem Ganesi in a dinium the drug with the Kuns and a Samanium the Drogenza, Yova in the Kundrunga, the Kundrung Kundro, Semjum Kundrunga, Dikolo, Tosem Sidida, Kundunium the Drosagi, Sem Tosem Tura, Sem Tura, Del Tosem, So Yevona, So Odisha, and Dikol Korlabdu, Korobarosimason, Nadisha, Kundu Drup Danium, Sheba Ganesi in a Dinium de Yoyovarita.
Feeling is the first of the five omnipresent mental factors, the others being discrimination or differentiation, intention, mental engagement, or often called attention, and contact. The reason for these being called omnipresent is because they always accompany a main mind or a primary consciousness, always. So what we have translated as omnipresent literally means all going, kundro, all going, which means every consciousness, all consciousness are accompanied by. So instead of go, we could take it as accompany. All, every main consciousness is accompanied by these five. So therefore, every thought, no matter how brief, is comprised of six, at least six consciousnesses. One, which is a main mind or primary consciousness, and then the other five are these five: feeling, discrimination, intention, mental engagement, and contact. So these six are a minimum for each and every consciousness. The 51 mental factors, as we saw a few pages before, are divided into six divisions. That was the first, now we come to the second on page 23. The second division of the 51 is a group of five called the object ascertaining mental factors, which are aspiration, belief, mindfulness, stabilization, and wisdom. The five we've just looked at, object as the omnipresent mental factors, called omnipresent because every consciousness has these five accompanying or together with each consciousness. So therefore, every consciousness, when divided, looked at in finer detail, has at least these six, a main mind and the five accompanying omnipresent mental factors. This division, the object ascertaining mental factors, do not accompany every consciousness. Should a consciousness be virtuous, these five accompany it, but they do not accompany a non-virtuous consciousness, a non-virtuous mind. So the five of aspiration, belief, mindfulness, stabilization, and wisdom serve the function of ascertaining the object of that consciousness. So the consciousness or the object possessor possesses its object, and these five ascertain that object. So if there's an object here and there's somewhere else, these five, due to these five, one ascertains this object, not going off to another object. So that's the function of these five, and they accompany virtuous consciousnesses, virtuous minds. If we divide consciousness into a different way, into those consciousnesses or awarenesses which are virtuous and those which are non-virtuous, we can now say that those which are virtuous will comprise a main mind It's all, five omnipresent mental factors and it's five object ascertaining mental factors. Therefore, we'll have at least 11. A non-virtuous consciousness will have only 6. It will have the main mind and the five omnipresent mental factors, but not these object ascertaining mental factors, which these five only accompany virtuous minds. Again then, the reason that these five are called object ascertaining is that's what they do. They ascertain their object, or they ascertain the object of that consciousness. As I mentioned last night, when we looked very briefly at the grouping of the five omnipresent mental factors, they are all consciousnesses, and they are differentiated in terms of their function. So in relation to the particular function a consciousness performs, it is called by the name that it has. So similarly here, with these five bearing consciousnesses that are grouped together as object ascertaining mental factors, they are a particular consciousness that performs a specific function, is given a specific name. And that we see presented here with the bullet points. So the consciousness that aspires to or strives for an object is called aspiration. A consciousness that engages with its object joyfully is called belief. A consciousness that apprehends the observed object and the aspect is called mindfulness. And the consciousness that abides one-pointedly is called stabilization, and wisdom is the consciousness that analyzes individually. And then the first of these, aspiration, we see immediately below, it has some synonyms, wishing or striving. Then this last line, we just need to change the translation of one word here. Thus, if there exists an aspiration that seeks a certain phenomena, for this joyous effort for the sake of that phenomenon is begun. So that's a little bit clunky, but the word effort is actually the word for joyous effort. So we should rather include that, because joyous effort has a particular meaning. So when there's aspiration that seeks a particular phenomenon, a particular object, then with joyous effort, one engages with it. So the reason for changing it is effort is an aspect of joyous perseverance. So joyous perseverance is often translated as joyous effort. So therefore, effort is an aspect of it, but there is another aspect, that of joy. Hence, it's better to use the fuller word here to give a clearer understanding of what it means. So at the outset of looking at the segment, it was mentioned that the object ascertaining mental factors relate to a virtuous object. So therefore, if the object is virtuous, it has the result of happiness. The feeling of happiness will follow from what one is engaging in. So let's look at the first then, aspiration. And we'll utilize the two synonyms here as well. So to give an illustration, wanting to benefit others, wanting to help others. This is an illustration of mental factor of aspiration. So having the aspiration to benefit others or wanting to help others. Another illustration is having the aspiration to achieve a path or striving to achieve a path. So these then would be illustrations of aspiration. And we can see there that the object that is being ascertained is a virtuous act. Our object, wanting to be of benefit to others or help others or striving to achieve a mental path.
Gabriel, Simjin, Sosu Jelebe, Dumbo Yuba, Kashi and Simjin, Simjingi, Simjin Tong, your social Toya, Dumbo Yuba, Ben, some of the Jehu Simbi, Chik Yorwada. Now, Jidin Piggy, Kishi Shetanayan, Duba Sadi.
So here it's then important to point out or to respond to a doubt which is likely to have arisen. If someone, for example, has the aspiration to kill an animal so that they can sell its flesh and make some money, then they have the aspiration to kill the animal, they have the aspiration to sell its flesh because they want to make some money. And this is how we talk in the world, and that's fine, it's not a mistake. And moreover, it would seem to fit the presentation here, because they have the aspiration to kill, they aspire to kill, they will strive to kill. But that doesn't fulfill the meaning of what is meant here. So whilst this is how we talk in the world, this is not what is meant in our context here.
Dundu 제가 다 판단 매바 되니 제바나 강아 제야 지나 몸바 두모이 니 던던녀게 되녀 듬바 로비 듬바라고 민텔야 로비 듬바 로비 되녀 자라 아니 제 로비 되바 자 민 되네 자르고 인자 듬방원에 말에 벤데 심제 베 심제 쇠되게 쇼 예데 데 심제 쇠되게 듬바로와 베 심제 쇠메 삼바 판바 지디게 삼바지다 쇠되게 삼바 니보디 니가 베 델야 자와들 제기 지 숙침부 여바 임바식라 안 찍디 판도 여바 찍지 찍디 녀바 여바 찍지 마오바나 내갑들이나 녀바 판녀 마오베 지위나 대륙 용구 여바지 dini za chigdi shen la pemba chegudu sembe samlo di semju di dumba wane che shen semju seogudu sembe gi dini gi shuk chenbo di samlo semju di dumbi gi dokcho ga sore lobi dumba dini na shin ma di ga sore dini gi da ngi di lam nyam len chegudu sembe samlo di ko denyer gi dumba che Tadine de Jehu Mindu Chigio Mara SMB de Sam Tandi Kod Shu Chinidi Lobby Dunyaso Chadokova. Tadine Dadi Dichagore.
So certainly in the world, one can express this person has an aspiration to kill, and that's correct, correct usage of the word. Likewise, someone has the aspiration to be of benefit to others. So both ways of using the world in the world is both ways of using the word in the world is correct. But in our Dharma context, someone who has the aspiration to kill, that is not this mental factor of aspiration. That is wrong aspiration. Someone who has the aspiration to be of benefit to others, that is aspiration. And what differentiates them is the result that will follow from their activity. Someone who has wrong aspiration is the reason that an aspiration is called wrong aspiration is because it will result in suffering, problems, and difficulties. Whereas the person who has the aspiration that's referred to here, the result of that will be happiness. So therefore, if the result of the aspiration is happiness, then this is called aspiration. But if the result is suffering, then it is called wrong aspiration.
Then the Gavi Java Chiglia, Gashin, Gubi, Gone, Lakapet, Jag, Samloti, Pesu, Javadilla, Tundu Lagurua, Tundu, Chagavi Java Chiglia, and the Digi, then the Gavi Gala Lajin, Chagadi, Tundu, Gala Laj, Mutin, Jag, Dubadi, Tundu, Chesa, the Gavi Java Cheva, and Penishalia, Pember Dugu, Chella Pember, Bea, or San Gala Lajin, Delia, Javadilla, Jigi Mutu, some Jag, Dubadi, Samloti, that Tundu Sharura. Then the Gavi Java Cheva, and Penishalia, Pember Dugu, Dinigi, Delatine, Shella Pember Dugu, and Shella Pengore. And digi tebu maomba na soso di na digi digi ligorwa, zunri di. Daya chigla, semjun suyalia, pe galala chen, semjun kawu shujun, semjun suyagi, chig de suyagi donalaya, chig pe jingin chorwa. Di, ta zunri gi doksha charwura, lobi zunri sa charwure. Chisan di gada chaworsana, digi kudu diya tebu diya, shanla semjun so, chogwa sabi di chit pezu chidi, shanla diya. Ani rangla ya, di maombi ki tebu ina ya,
This can also be understood through looking at the last line. Thus, if there exists an aspiration that seeks a certain phenomenon, joyous perseverance for the sake of that phenomenon is begun. So this term, joyous perseverance, it means specifically with delight persevering or making effort in virtue. So the term joyous perseverance, in its name of that consciousness, makes no reference to virtue, but that is in the definition. It's persevering with delight in virtue. So for example, someone who has the aspiration to be of benefit in the world, will then, with delight, with joy, will persevere, will make great effort to fulfill this aspiration. So this is how the word joyous, or the term joyous perseverance is used. It has these two aspects of joy and perseverance or effort, and it's in relation to an object that's virtuous. That being said, people certainly do make great effort or persevere with joy in non-virtue. But that is not called joyous perseverance. So whilst the name can be applied, it doesn't fulfill the definition. So therefore, in ordinary usage, we can say that this person with great joy makes effort in killing, for example. But that is not joyous perseverance because it's not virtue. It doesn't lead to happiness. If we want to call that joyous perseverance, then it needs to be called wrong joyous perseverance. And this is because it is non-virtuous because it will lead to suffering. For it to be joyous perseverance, it's engaging with delight or joy in virtue. Then it can be joyous perseverance. Hence, these relate only to virtuous objects and not non-virtuous objects. There, we would talk about wrong aspiration or wrong joyous perseverance.
Then I'm going to go to the next one.
So certainly in our everyday, the way people speak in their everyday usage, they could certainly say that someone is engaging with effort in virtue or engaging in effort in non-virtue. Or they could even use doing so with joy and maybe say joyous effort or joy in either context. So that's, if people speak in that way, that's fine. That's not necessarily grammatically incorrect. But when we're approaching it from the perspective of the Dharma, we need to understand that joyous perseverance is only used in relation to virtue. People who take delight in and make great effort in non-virtue, then we can say they're taking delight and effort, but we should not use the term joyous perseverance or making joyous effort, because that relates only to virtue. And if one particularly wants to use the word joyous effort or joyous perseverance, then one needs to include add the word wrong. So wrong effort, like that. So again, just in our everyday way of speaking, this is how people will use these words. But for ourselves, when we're reading texts or hearing teachings and we hear joyous perseverance or joyous effort, we know it only is used in relation to virtue.
Yakwara Sambaina, Dinikawi, Bene, Sai, Me, Korongi, Shanle, Pemba Cheba, Pemba Jugu, Dinigi, Pando Juya di 아니 대래 약불에 선배인데 대래 가와서 그러와. 신이 심정이 속주지 지겨워 통나 대래 약불에 선배 네 가와 말해. 그 가위 유체가 신이 심정 속주야지 신래 뇌바 지금 뭐 어디 약불 말해 선배 말도 가해가 유코라 체거 말지다 심정 속주 통 어디 그 쇠선 배하고 쇠선 약불 쇠선 약불에 선배인데 네 가와 말해. 다 펜베시 주체는 이제 약보진 그 약보에 선배나 가와리 제가 펜베 주바디 가비 유제 그래서 제가 라신 이가래 되기 용 거래 제가 동화제 심지어 소주제 동화제 바인 제아디 디 가비 유 말에 디기 라신 이가래 뇌버티고 일단 가비 유 말에 제가 나 저기 지진 여다 아다 맞아 낭비 최네 시에데 가와 시에디 유 가위 유지라 가세 유코롱 현래 팬비게 다니 몽바나 랑래 팬도 용하게 되니지라 매바 제바들라 가와스 비지던 거래 현이라 뇌바 제지라 야보레 선배니 니 야고코로 말와 삼면 너주 야보레 심지 현이 심지 세번 야보레 선배 너주로 와 제가 디 가보 제바니 가와디 가와 야보레 선배 가와 말레스 제가 디 나주 주문이 시대 디시고래 이내 당아도 지진배 가게 나게 시대 어,或者什么叫做起来了,搞不要了,或者长东西了,搞不要了,或者怎么这样了,搞不要了,搞不搞不起来,你搞不定了,就地南的些别的,搞什么,没把些的,搞什么,没别搞,电话了,搞什么,没别,电话了,搞不起来,搞不,你搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,搞完了,
understanding that I've presented here, apply now to the second of the object ascertaining mental factors as well. So that is the mental factor of belief. Belief engages that object joyfully. So again, as I said in the previous segments, the word joyfully we can use in any context, and it is used in many contexts. People with great joy will drink far too much beer. Some people with great joy will fish or they'll hunt. So these aren't virtuous objects. But this is how people talk, and that's fine. But in our in our Dharma context, when you hear the word joy or delight, then it's referring to a virtuous object. And again, what differentiates an object, if one wonders, so is this behavior or is this object, is it virtuous or not? That depends on this result that will come. If there's benefit for oneself and others, if it leads to lasting benefits, if it's accumulating virtue, it's a virtuous object. And then one can utilize, with the Dharma meaning, the word joy. So here, when we see the second mental factor here of belief, which engages that object joyfully, because the word joy is there, we know the object is virtuous. So it doesn't explicitly say the object is virtuous, but one can come to understand that this is implicitly stated because of the word joy. So therefore, when the consciousness that engages with the virtuous object with joy, such as the consciousness that engages with benefiting others with joy, that consciousness fulfills the function of belief and is therefore called belief.
Adine sumba gyawa chuchu yodhi dhela karasin dheba, ngosa sheba, treyoba, machaba, sheda mebe semchung, timo mebe semchung. Dine zunru sadi, zunru shindu changba, bhaiyo, tanyam, nambar mitsewa, nam ane rangi tokcho mateba le tobe kone gyawa chuchu, gyawa chuchu yodhi gyawa chuchu yodhi. Da gyawa chuchu changi dhaya karasin migyawa chuchu yodhi, migyawa chuchu yodhi tokcho yodhi da,
Then the 51 mental factors that we've seen are divided in six groupings. And that's the first two. We'll now move to the third, virtuous mental factors. And here we see them listed. Faith, shame, embarrassment, non-attachment, non-hatred, non-ignorance, joyous perseverance, pliancy, conscientiousness, equanimity, non-harmfulness. And the text goes on, they are virtues by way of turning away from their opposites, non-faith and so forth. Thus, they are called the 11 virtuous factors and are a definite enumeration.
The first, faith.
So this one hears about quite often in terms of having an object that one has faith towards, such as the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, or one's Lama. So this would be the mental factor or the consciousness that has faith in a virtuous object. Then the second, that of shame. So just to say as an aside, so here this term in English usage can have some negative connotations. Here the usage is more specific because it's only virtuous. So the meaning of shame is it's a consciousness that is directed towards oneself in the sense of towards one's own physical behavior, verbal speech, or way of thinking. One sees that what one has done is non-virtuous and will lead to suffering. And then the consciousness that recognizes this is one of shame. Then the third, embarrassment, has a lot in common with shame. Because both shame and embarrassment are in relation to non-virtuous behavior that one may have done or may be doing or may be planning to do. So which will relate to physical behavior, verbal communication or a way of thinking. So that relates to both shame and embarrassment. The difference is, as you heard with shame, this is internal in the sense that it's directed towards oneself by oneself. Whereas embarrassment is directed by others towards oneself. So those which are external to one, towards oneself. But this is still our own consciousness. So here, embarrassment would be, those who are around me, what would they say if they saw me doing this or heard me saying this? How disappointed my teacher would be in this behavior. How disappointed society or my loved ones would be in this behavior. So here, it's one's own consciousness, embarrassment, thinking about one's own potential non-virtuous behavior or past non-virtuous behavior, but thinking about it, what would those outside of myself have to say about it, whereas shame is about what oneself has to say about it. So for example, sitting here, if you see something you think, oh, I'd really like that, embarrassment is probably what will stop you from stealing it, because everyone will see. What will they say? What will they think of me? My reputation will be destroyed. So therefore, this consciousness or this mental factor of embarrassment will prevent us from engaging in non-virtue because of what others will say. Shame also prevents us from engaging in non-virtue, but it's in terms of what we say about ourselves. For example, with stealing, if we go into a room looking for someone and they're not there, and we see something very nice, we could steal it. No one would see. But we think to ourselves, is that the kind of person I want to be? And therefore we don't steal it. So here, this consciousness, in this case, thinks, is that the kind of person I want to be? And therefore we don't engage in virtue. This is called shame. But if we are in front of others and we want to steal something but we don't because of what others will say, that consciousness is called embarrassment. So therefore they are both the same, shame and embarrassment, in terms of stopping us from engaging in non-virtue. But the one is in relation to ourselves, shame, and embarrassment comes from how others will perceive us. Then non-attachment, and okay, this should have been changed, non-hatred. So non-hatred, non-anger. In English, we have anger and hatred, which are quite different. In Tibetan, it's just one word. This difference isn't made. So if you see hatred, just think anger. If you see anger, you can think, well, don't think of hatred, but the meaning is, in Tibetan, they don't make the distinction. So the consciousness that is non-attachment is a consciousness that stops attachment. Similarly, non-hatred, the consciousness that is called non-hatred, is one that stops anger. So for example, one could call love, for example, non-anger, because love fulfills the function of preventing anger. And therefore, one can call love non-anger. And then again, a consciousness that stops or blocks attachment, that consciousness can be called non-attachment.
Natimo maybe simjo la de timo la de yige te pine kiwe chawa ni na ning di ane te la tine tribu kewa ta anka sa kewa yung yoba ni so ha mo kwa di ta kan chi kiwe chawa ta kiwe chawa dubye ge ha mo kwa di timo chawa ha mo kwa di lo kora timo che timo maybe simjo la de di to sho da di dine ge kiwe chawa da dine tribu ni so ha ko ya ge sam da chagurwa.
The sixth one, non-ignorance. So let's rather call this maybe non-confusion, because they're different words in Tibetan for ignorance. This one is more of a not knowing. So it is often called ignorance, hence it's widely here as a mental factor called non-ignorance. But it's not the ignorance we're used to hearing about. This is specifically a consciousness that blocks a confusion. In other words, not knowing. So for example, what to engage in, what not to engage in. When one doesn't know what is virtuous and non-virtuous, for example, then one has confusion about what should and shouldn't be engaged in. This is a contrary consciousness. So non-confusion is the sixth one. Then the seventh joyous perseverance is as was looked at previously. So therefore, it's this persevering or making effort with joy in virtue. Then the eighth one, pliancy. So pliancy, there are two types. There's physical pliancy and mental pliancy. And this is achieved when one attains calm abiding. When one actually attains calm abiding, then one has both physical and mental pliancy. And what this means is that one will not experience any physical difficulties that hinder one's practice or mental difficulties. Ninth is conscientiousness. So this is also translated as being careful, which is an aspect of conscientiousness. So conscientiousness is a better translation. And it's in relation to be conscientious about engaging in virtue and not in non-virtue. So therefore, one would be careful not to engage in non-virtue, but due to being conscientious about ensuring that one stays virtuous, one's mental train of thought remains virtuous. The tenth equanimity, as was mentioned earlier, so this is where one is equanimous in relation to others, not being attached and therefore close to some and averse and therefore distant from others, but rather seeing them as equal. And this is equanimity. And 11th non-harmfulness is then the commitment not to harm others at all. As read earlier, they are virtues by way of turning away from their opposites, non-faith and so forth. Thus they are called the 11 virtuous factors and are a definite enumeration. So what makes them, so the being virtuous, one is blocking or stopping from going in the direction of non-virtue, and that's part of the function they form, perform.
That's 아디
However, faith in that which is not an object of faith, such as demons and so forth, and efforts in the direction of non-virtue, are imputed faith and efforts, but not actual faith and efforts. So this is so it is necessary to distinguish these. So this is similar to what we've discussed already. And now, in terms of faith, it is the same. Faith is a virtuous mental factor, therefore one has faith in a virtuous object. However, whilst in the world we can say one has faith in something that is turns out to not be virtuous, that consciousness that has faith in that object is not called faith. So hence we see here, it's imputed faith. So if it's called faith, it's not what is meant here. The name may be applied, but it wouldn't fulfill the meaning here, because faith is a virtuous mental factor, and as we see in the first line, virtuous by way of turning away from the opposite. So faith turns away from non-faith. And this then, it refers to that the object of faith is virtuous, whereas non-faith would be non-virtuous. And similarly with effort, or joyous perseverance, that for something to be joyous perseverance, one needs to be making effort with joy in a virtuous object. If one is making effort with joy in something non-virtuous, this cannot be called joyous effort or joyous perseverance, but rather would be wrong joyous effort, or one would be merely calling it joyous perseverance.
All right, that is the question. Ne dua le chuen da dang dang ni ne ni mo jiao lun ma zhen yun zhu ma xue ji.
So then we can stop here in the text. If you have some questions, we can take questions, and then this afternoon we will continue from the top of page 24 with root afflictions.
It seems that embarrassment depends upon another negative mind, the attachment to reputation. So if you overcome your attachment to reputation, then you're not going to be embarrassed if you do something wrong.
Embarrassment, the virtue. So as I understand it, the doubt that I have is that with embarrassment, if it depends on what others will say about oneself, then this it seems to imply that there is an attachment to reputation. But if one has abandoned your attachment to reputation, then surely it follows that one will not be embarrassed anymore. Yeah, not caring about what others say.
Chelyu said, Gimchen Samdade, Shens and Gimchen to Jeje, DB Jawal, Zemba, the Maj Zemba, the Lacheo, Sigmato, Shendi Galamna, Kayomer, Sembe, some Nameta, Jeteo Mare.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མ རེད Sosuki Dibet Jawal, Shen Timazin Bachi, Shengi, some Matanaji, Sosuki Dibet Jebin, Chemeba Shabbat, that he done that.
If others, if one thinks to oneself that others may criticize me for doing this non virtuous behavior, but not care, then one lacks this virtuous mental factor of embarrassment, as you said. So, yeah, so Gan is expressing it differently from you. You're putting it with something that sounds virtuous, not caring about reputation, yeah? But if one doesn't care that others what others think about your behavior in the sense of you engaging in non-virtue, then you, for sure, you do not have this mental factor, this virtuous mental factor of embarrassment. So, for example, well, I'm killing. I know they weren't approved, but so what? I don't care what they think. One will continue killing, and part of the reason why one will continue to do so is because one is lacking this virtuous mental factor of embarrassment. Okay. Tanya?
I just want to check that I understand the act of killing. So, one of the divisions is the threefold division of the experience of happiness, the experience of suffering,
mm.
and the experience of equanimity.
Mm-hmm.
And last night you described it as classes of feelings, three different classes. So I want to just clarify, is that talking about the subtle up to the gross?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the class of feeling, not in terms of the category of I'm feeling angry,
mm-hmm.
so therefore that's a feeling of suffering,
mm-hmm.
so like classifying emotions. So just sort of clarifying that it's actually three different feelings, mm-hmm. and those feelings are, you know, happiness,
suffering, yes. or neutrality, yes. not that they're categories. And they're all
included within the aggregate of
feeling. Well, that's, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if I get it right, so aggregate of feeling was said to be synonymous with feeling, and then we had feeling divided in different ways, including the threefold division, which last night I referred to as three different categories. So just to be clear then, those three different types or three different categories, they referring to happiness, suffering, and neutrality across all its gradation. Okay, thank you.
Trusting,
이러다
Yes, in brief. So any way that one divides feelings, whether into two, three, or five, it's included within the, it's synonymous with the aggregate of feeling. And it includes the entire, whichever division, the entire gradient of feelings. So whether one's feeling of happiness is very slight, or what we'd say bliss, or the suffering is very minor, or it's intense, it would all be included within the aggregate of feeling. So it's not that it's separate classes, but it's three types or two types with the gradient included in the entire expanse included in there. Okay.
So if I'm angry, that's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
Lung lang se di tsuaram, tsuaram are, di manjugi, lung lang se di manjugi, shetan lang kondo li, li gyoro di li ma, di simjung kakar chakar ma, di tsua chakar ma. Na, tsua, nyamdu ma re, tsua la dine li giri, dati ngang zu li tsua, tsua, jik, dunga si le vay na, dili dine, ngang zu lung lang di li giri.
So, anger is a different consciousness, a different mental factor, and it arises following from or in dependence on the feeling of suffering. So they are separate and there's a sequence. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Anila? So the threefold division of equanimity, or no, the three ways that the word equanimity is used, so this is the middle page 22. The first one refers to a consciousness, an equanimity feeling. The second and the third relates to the object. Yeah, it relates to the object, so being equanimous, or being impartial towards different beings, being the same towards them. But surely the first one, though, too, equanimity feeling, whilst a consciousness, also has to have a relationship with an object, because every consciousness requires an object, right? Okay.
You do your
네 Yes, you are correct. And feeling of equanimity, being a consciousness, will have an object. As you said, every consciousness has its object. So what makes this an equanimous feeling is, for example, if one glances out the window and sees a tree, then with that eye sense consciousness, There is a feeling, and that feeling is not necessarily then going to be a feeling of happiness, you just glance at a tree, nor one of suffering, so it will be a neutral or equanimous feeling. So that's the feeling, this consciousness, but it has an object being that tree. Yeah, so it has an object, but the usage of the word equanimity here is referring specifically to a consciousness, an equanimous feeling. Okay?
Yeah, that is it.
One problem I have with probably fear, working in the Buddhist, they like, you know, work in the outer community. So I do a lot of that with different cultures. One of the things I've found, the more and more that I practice the Dharma with my feelings and emotions, I become very. When people tell me their scripts and their stories and very tragedies, I become very straight, very always straight. And the inner culture and gender of a European society, the one thing that we need to show, so we're not judged or labeled as, you know, they've got all these words, narcissists or aspergers or whatever words. We need to show empathy. I found that one of the things in my practice that happened, that I was so paralleled, you know, that I outwardly was my inward. So therefore, I was woken by a family member that I was not showing the necessary physical, emotional signs that were acceptable by the culture. Not just the European culture. Well, I was all right with my Asian culture because they, you know, I like that. So, yeah. So that's am I doing something in my meditation and my practice incorrect, or am I heading in the right path? Is this just an obstruction? Because now I have to listen really hard for people's words so that I. Do the right acceptable cultural thing outwardly.
So you wanting to check that in your meditation practice, are you perhaps making an error or not? Because you're finding that, I'll use my own words, but your mind is becoming more stable, not so much up and down. And then even when someone is communicating to you about something that for them is quite traumatic, your mind isn't responding in an overt manner, and therefore you're not expressing a strong emotional response. And then from their side, sometimes because this is not in accordance with their culture, then they're feeling that you're not emotionally engaging with them, and this leads to disappointment or whatever from their side.
Did 제가 ཉམ་ལེན་ཅན་ནོར་ནོར་ཡོ་མ་ལ་མ་དེ་མུ་བི་དེ་སེམ་ཅོ་དེ་ཁོ་ཅེ་ཡོ་མ་རོ་བ་ཁོ་རང་གི་པ་ལེ་ཅེ་ཟམ་པ་ཅེ་ཁ་སེ་གོ་རེ་མི་ཁོ་རང་གི་ཀང་ཨ་དེ་ཁོ་ལ་ཡ་ཤེ་བ་ཡིན་ན་ཨ་ནེ་ཁ་ཤེ་བ་ནེ་ཁོ་ཡ་པ་ཅེ་ནེ་གི་ཅིག་
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཤུ་དང་དེ་ནས་མ་ཏ་བ་ན་དེ་ཨ་ལེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་རུ་བ་ཅི་ཟན་དེ་ནས་ཤེ་བ་ཡ་ཀ་ཤེ་བ་ཡ་ན་དེ་ནང་མེ་ཤེ་ཤ་མེ་ར་ཁོ་ལ་ཡ་སེམས་སུ་ཆེ་ཡ་དང་ཡང་སུ་གུ་ལབ་ཅེ་ཐོན་ཁ་རེ་ཆེ་བ་ཡ་ན་དེ་ཁོ་ཅིན་ཇེ་བ་ཡ་དེ་གེ་ཅིམ་ཆ་གུ་རུ་བ་མ་ཏོ་ལ་དེ་ཡང་ཅིག་དེ་ལ་ཡ་ཨ་ད་ཁོ་རང་ཀ
When we're training our mind, then our mind should become more habituated to being staying stable and calm in the face of adversity. This means we start to experience the world and people in a way quite different than we used to. And this means that our way of responding will be different from how it used to, and it may well be out of the norms of society. This is to be expected. For example, and this wasn't your example, but it shows where it happens too. Usually in the world, if someone is angry at us and speaking to us in an abusive way and accusing us of many things, anger arises within us, our face will go a little bit red, and we may well respond in a similar way. That's the normal way in the world. If one's trained well in patience, one's mind will stay calm and subdued, and one will thereby be able to respond in a skillful way because one's mind is not afflicted, and thereby can either, with a calm mind, say nothing if one sees that as better, or apologize if one sees that as better, or explain yourself if you feel that's better. And one is more likely to make a right decision on how to respond because one's mind's not afflicted. So that's a skillful way to deal with a difficult situation, but it's not the ordinary way in the world. Similarly, when one has trained one's mind, one hears someone else's either very bad news or very good news, then one's mind is not responding in the normal worldly way of either becoming delighted or also becoming disappointed or sad like they are. So this is a normal, is therefore there is no fault in your training, in your meditation. Nevertheless, though, one needs to respond in the second illustration, not the patient's illustration. This illustration, in a way, in accordance with society. And therefore, when one needs to show compassion, generate compassion for the person suffering before you. Generate empathy for them. You may not be suffering. If compassion arises, you are not suffering. But you can experience, you can relate to the suffering being before you. And in this way, compassion can arise and be expressed through one's facial expression or way of speaking. And likewise, when someone shares news of joy with you. And you can share in their joy without your mind being, it's more evenness, being elated. Your mind can stay even, But you can share in their joy. Okay? So it's a little bit late, and lunch is going to be getting cold, so maybe later, yeah? Okay, thank you.